What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another Batman News Weekly. This is episode 208 in year four, the final episode of year four. And you know, we're ending year four a little different because this episode has no fanboy Clay. Now, don't worry, Clay is not off the show. He just has the COVID. And instead of giving you no show this week, we would try to usually postpone the show and, you know, kind of just, you know, oh, we'll release it on Saturday or Sunday. But he's going to take a few days to recover. And instead of giving you an extremely late show, it'll be close to the next episode, I'm just going to try to record everything on my own. I've had to do this two times before in the history of the podcast, because originally, if you didn't know, this podcast was going to be me talking about Batman all the time. But then I realized, might be better with somebody else. So we brought Clay back on, and that's what became of the podcast. So yeah, if the audio is a little wonky at times, it's probably because I had to stop and get some water or something, because I'm going to have to carry the show, ladies and gentlemen. But today we do have a lot of news to talk about and some comics. I think this week of comics was a little lackluster, if I'm being honest. We did get Batman 137, which I didn't completely hate, although there was plenty of things for me to hate in that issue. But we're going to start off with some news that I think has been getting a lot of, I don't know, I mean, these things have been talked about on Twitter. Twitter kind of overblows a lot of things. But just some interesting things that I've seen come out of Twitter this week. The first being that it is rumored, this is coming from My Time to Shine, again, on Twitter, somebody that I think is okay as, my opinions are not very positive of this person as a scooper, because they've said plenty of things that were wrong in the past, so I take a lot of what they say with a grain of salt. But they say that Robin, aka Dick Grayson's Robin, is going to be in Matt Reeves' The Batman. Now, I have already said this multiple times, because we talked about, I believe it was last week, we talked about Clayface being in Matt Reeves' The Batman movie, and now you're adding Dick Grayson. Robin, of all things, I'm assuming this is going to be a younger Dick Grayson. It's going to be like a child, teenager kind of thing. And I just think this is a bad move, especially if you are going to be doing the Bat family in the DCEU, or, oh wow, DCU, sorry, slip of the tongue. We're trying to end that with year four of Batman News Weekly, you know? Year five will start off with DCU just pretty fresh, like James Gunn should have done. But no, I think having the Bat family in both universes is really stupid, in my opinion. You should separate them. Like, if you're going to keep doing two different Batmen, then do the other one very realistic. That way it is extremely different. You don't need to add the Bat family. If you're going to do the DCU Bat family, then let them do that over there. Let them have their own thing, because you want to still try to get as many people as you can to watch these movies. So why are you going to go ahead and be like, oh yeah, both of them have Robin, both of them are using the same characters, both of them are doing everything? People are just going to pick which one they prefer. Now, we do think that that is what's going to happen anyways, because there are going to be some people that are like, I'm not going to watch the DCU because I love Zack Snyder. But they like, you know, the Batman because it's completely different. It's a different universe. So they're totally cool with it. But honestly, I just don't think you should have Robin in this movie. I mean, just show me adventures with Robert Pattinson's Batman. That's all I want to see, you know? Granted, I didn't like the first one. It doesn't mean the next one can't be good. Although, you're kind of getting me off track with Clayface being the villain. I'm still going to hold to my theory that Clayface is going to be like, he's probably going to do the actor thing, but he's going to use like prosthetics, or like he's going to be maybe also special effects type of dude that is going to maybe rob places or murder people with special effects makeup on or whatever, and that's going to be Clayface. Because I just don't see them doing the CGI Clayface, which should be his introduction to the universe, or I should say the big screen. But I don't know. Overall, that is kind of some of the news that is coming out about the Batman. So Clayface and Robin rumored to be in this movie. I am not a fan of it. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Batman, so maybe people that do like that will be a fan of that. But let me know if you enjoyed the Batman. Are you excited about Robin being in it or not? The next bit of news, which this one's a little, I think a little shocking in my opinion, is Warner Brothers Animation, who I believe killed Cartoon Network recently. If I might be wrong there. Also, if you hear craziness outside my house, I think they're picking up the trash and it's like really loud. But Pixel Animation Festival is it's Pixel ATL. I'm assuming Pixel Atlanta Animation Festival, or maybe it's not even the case. I don't really know. It's just Pixel ATL Animation Festival this week is going to have some Warner Brothers animation panels, and they showed two very interesting pictures. They had one with the collage of different, you know, Cartoon Network, Warner Brothers type of characters that are like, you know, Daffy Duck, Tom and Jerry, Powerpuff Girls, stuff like that. And one of the characters on this is Weasel. And we believe this is going to be the Weasel from Creature Commandos. So the one thing I notice is all of the cartoons they're showing on this banner are kind of silly cartoons. And to kind of tie this to something that James Gunn said earlier, James Gunn was quoted saying, you know, he gave an update on Creature Commandos that said, "It's animated, so it's separated from the strike. We're working on it. I love it. I think it's going to be so different than what people expect." Now, you would think, oh, James Gunn is involved, so it's going to be a little silly, but it's also going to probably be dramatic, right? And my thing is, you probably have to go dramatic anyways for people to be interested in Creature Commandos, unless like what he thinks is like, oh, you know, we've seen a lot of stuff from DC before and, you know, it is pretty good, or, you know, I don't know. Lately, animation for DC hasn't been the greatest in my opinion, besides like Harley Quinn, which I think is its own thing. Well, I mean, I guess Superman Adventures has actually been pretty praised this year too, but that's pretty fresh. But for the most part, I don't know what they, like, how he's going to be so different. I would assume since he loves Into the Spider-Verse so much, he would go more that route of, you know, being into the animation. I kind of feel Creature Commandos might be, like, really silly. And maybe that's what he thinks people are going to be like, oh, we're going in a different direction, or, you know, it's going to be what people don't expect. But do you really want to have a silly Creature Commandos? Is kind of what I'm questioning. Because I don't know, like, if it's going to be different from what people expect, I would think silly. But I'm also kind of hoping that it's going to be dramatic. I don't know, I'm really confused. Because if I'm not mistaken, it was, oh my god, I'm forgetting his name right now. The dude that plays Hopper in Stranger Things, he said it was one of the funniest scripts he's ever read, if I'm not misquoting him. And so that kind of makes it think, like, oh, it might be a little silly. And I don't know, I'm just kind of like, ugh, are we going to get a silly Creature Commandos to start off the DCU? I don't know if we want that. I think if it wants to go more like the anime route, where it's silly and dramatic, maybe that's what we're going to get. And I think that would be something that is different than what people consider, because I think you get the overall over-the-top silliness with, like, Harley Quinn. And then we've had serious, like in Batman the Animated Series, but I don't think anything's gotten like close to being as good as Batman the Animated Series in a really long time. I know that there was, I always want to say Teen Titans, but it's not Teen Titans. Clay is the one that has the extra knowledge here, but you know, it was really big on the DC Universe. It had came back for a while. It's been canceled like multiple times if it's come back, but that was a pretty serious show. I'm trying to think of it now, and it's like, it's not like Justice League United or anything like that, but you know what I'm talking about. It had Robin in it as Night, I mean, it had Nightwing in it, it had everybody, it had the whole Bat family, but it had all the other heroes as well. And, oh my god, now I'm just kind of like, oh, what is it gonna be? Young Justice, I had to literally stop the podcast because it was just clouding my brain. Yes, Young Justice is what I was talking about. And maybe it'll be like that. Young Justice was pretty serious at times. It had a little bit of silly moments, but for the most part, it was a pretty serious, cartoon. So, I don't know. We'll see what Creature Commandos is going to be. They're working on it. It's going to be the first thing in the DC universe. And yeah, I just hope it's going to be entertaining. That's all I really want. I don't care if it's super silly, but I don't know. We can sit here and overanalyze James Gunn all day, and we're not really going to get anywhere. But so there's that. But there was an extra panel. I mentioned that there was two panels from this event that is going to be coming up. And by the way, this thing, I'm looking at the panels right now, and it says it's going to be in Guadalajara. So I believe this is a Latin event. So the Pixel ATL is probably definitely like Pixel in Spanish or something like that. And I just don't know how to pronounce it. And I'm not gonna try to, like, you know, make myself sound worse by trying to go through there and do that. But at the moment, the one thing that I think is very interesting, and we might have talked about this on the podcast. We definitely talked about the first time we heard about this. But with everything changing with James Gunn, Zaslav killing everything at Warner Brothers, we didn't know if this project was going to survive. And that is Batman Azteca. And that seems like it is still on board. Like, it's still going to happen. Because they showed a panel that the directors, the main character designer, art director, are going to be doing this panel. So that is pretty awesome. If you were somebody that was interested in Batman Azteca, which I was, that seems like it is still going to be happening. So I'm really excited to see what comes out of that, if we're going to get any more like photos of the suit and whatnot. Because I think the suit design that they showed a long time ago was pretty awesome. But, you know, that is still on board. So I'm excited to see where that project is going to go as well. Moving right along to probably the most interesting, but not that talked about bit of news, was rumored castings for the Authority movie. Now, I actually have to pull this up on the Discord because this came out right after we recorded the last podcast. So I'm pulling this up right now. And this came from Home of DCU, which is, you know, one of the more popular DCU Twitter handles. And this the tweet says, "The Authority is possibly already fully cast, according to the Rocha says. The source is supposedly 60% right." So, I mean, even in this tweet, they're saying that it's 60% right. So take this with a major grain of salt. But what they're saying is Jenny Sparks would be played by Keira Knightley, which I'm a big Pirates of the Caribbean fan. So Keira Knightley, totally on board with that. Apollo would be Alexander Skarsgård, which is pretty interesting. Midnighter, which, you know, we've joked on this podcast many a times, and even the internet always goes around saying Midnighter is just gay Batman, but is being played by Sam Worthington. Now, Clay did make a joke about this, because I've said a million times, I'm not the biggest Sam Worthington fan. I ended up seeing, I think it was 3 movies of Sam Worthington in the same year, and I disliked all of them. He was in Avatar, which I think Avatar is extremely overrated. I wasn't a big fan of it. Then he was in Terminator Salvation, which I thought was one of the worst Terminator movies, in my opinion. And then he was also in, I don't know what the movie was called, but he was like a warrior, and he fought all the mythological creatures like Medusa and the Hydra and all these kind of things. He was in that. I don't think it was called Hercules or anything like that. But he was in that movie as well. And I was like, that movie sucked too. And so I'm just not a huge Sam Worthington fan. But I do think Sam Worthington would make a great Midnighter. So we'll see how that goes. That might be a great casting if that is true. Then we have the engineer, who is Kiki Palmer, which, hey, I think that's an awesome casting. We got Doctor from Riz Muhammad. I believe that's how you pronounce the last name. And, or it's Hamid. My apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrong. Is going to play the Doctor. And then we have Jack Hawksmoor, who would be played by Gerard Butler. I'm down with Gerard Butler, but interesting casting. These are actually some really well-known named actors to be in The Authority. And I would be down with this cast. If this was 100% true, I'm down. I think this is really cool. I enjoy some of these actors. Or I should say I enjoy majority of these actors. And I think even the ones I might not enjoy, like Sam Worthington, I think are still good castings for the characters and can be good. But yeah, I don't know. Let me know in the comment sections what y'all think of the possible castings for The Authority. I would totally be down with Keira Knightley getting back into the spotlight. I think she's awesome. And Gerard Butler is just the badass, so I'm totally cool with that. But yeah, so that is the possible Authority casting. Again, take it with a grain of salt. Even the tweet says 60% right. I don't know what that means. Maybe like two of these people are legit, or half of them. I don't know. I don't know math. But yeah, that is the other big news that is coming out of, just Twitter and the universe of the comic book movies. The only other bit of news that we have is Batman Day news. A lot of stuff going on for Batman Day. But one of the biggest things is the Dark Knight trilogy is returning to theaters for Batman Day. Now, look, I'm going to be real with y'all. I know they like to do a lot of cool things for Batman Day. I'm just a little curious if maybe Christopher Nolan or WB wants Batman to be on top as their best movie again, so they're releasing The Dark Knight again in theaters so people can go watch it, so they can kind of add some more money to maybe take that top spot from Barbie. I don't know. I kind of like Barbie being on top. I think it was a good flick. But, I don't know. Because, look, I know a lot of people would be like, no, it's not the reason. It's just for Batman Day, which I do believe. But I like to throw a little conspiracy theories out there every once in a while, because I know that Avatar has done this multiple times in its history. Avatar always goes back to theaters to pat in its stats. Remember when it got overtaken by the Avengers movie as being like the most successful movie? Avatar went back to theaters to try to take the crown back, and I think it actually did. I don't know where all of these people are coming from that are Avatar fans. It blows my mind because I never hear anybody ever talk about that movie. My conspiracy, if I'm being legit, I think James Cameron has a bunch of people that just go buy tickets to this movie and don't show up, you know? Because I've seen this. I've seen movies that have bought out theaters and nobody ever goes to watch the movie. They do it just to like patent the stats of the movie. So all I'm saying, that's my conspiracy theory, is I think, maybe Batman is getting put back in the theaters to try to get the top spot back at WB. It is what it is. Although I think Barbie is still killing it. They're still showing multiple screens at my local theater. So I don't think it could catch up in one day. But that is pretty much all of the news that we have so far, ladies and gentlemen, for this week. By the way, if you're missing Clay's voice, because man, I will say, doing this podcast with another person is so much easier when you have time to catch your breath and also just bounce off ideas. I mean, I'm a big conversation person, so I love having conversations with people and just hearing their sides and their opinions on these types of topics. But if you are missing Clay's voice and you want to hear Clay's voice, he actually uploaded his first full-length video on the Batman News Weekly channel. It is about every time Batman has worn a lantern ring. So, go over there, drop a comment, hit that subscribe button, and be like, hey man, we're sorry you got COVID. Go leave that in the comments of that video. And wish Clay some well wishes, because he's dealing with the COVIDs. He went a long time not getting it. I will say that. It's unfortunate his family got sick. So, he's right there. He got sick as well. He talked about this in the Discord. And that sucks. I've never had it. But every day I hear it getting closer and closer. And I'm like, no, man. No, not me, man. Not me. But we do wish Clay all the best. And hopefully he will be back on next week's podcast. No problem. But with that, we are moving on to viewer questions, ladies and gentlemen. In the Discord, we have King that says, should Matt Reeves' Batverse expand into a bigger universe like the DCU, or just keep it within the Bat family, like with the rumored Robin in the Batman Part 2, and not any other characters like introducing a new Superman? So this is a loaded question, multiple questions in there, but first of all, I do not think it should expand, and I don't think Matt Reeves wants it to expand. He specifically said that he was not going to be, like, Batman was going to be in its own universe, but it was technically a part of the DCU. He did say that at one point, but we know that that's bullshit. The Batman universe is its own thing, and it doesn't connect to Superman or anybody else. So, you know, it should stay in its own universe. They've talked about, like, Robert Pattinson and other people on the cast are like, yeah, we can't introduce other characters because how would you do Superman? Like, it doesn't make sense because this is a realistic world. So how are you going to have a Superman? Is he a strong man at a circus, you know, that wears red and blue? He's not going to have powers. He's not going to be able to fly. He's not going to be able to shoot things out of his eyes. So how do you do him realistically? So no, I don't think it should expand. And by the way, that is one of the reasons why we constantly say you can't just tonally change the movie to having CGI monsters and stuff, because it won't make sense. I mean, even the cast themselves knows the tone of Batman. So that's why I'm curious on why Clayface would be in the movie. But anyways, I do not think it should expand to a broader thing. And again, it's the same thing we've been talking about. Why would you do that? If you are starting the DCU, why would you have a realistic universe as well? It's just idiotic and it's dumb, and you should force people to only have one thing instead of being like, oh yeah, when it comes to movies, I like options. I'm a person that likes to be able to pick and choose. But when it comes to movies, having multiple Batman and stuff like that, I don't think that's the best thing to do. Because even if it's the case, right, where people are like, well, you can give them something to watch. If you make people not want to watch one thing for a long time and then there's finally a reboot, they'll give that reboot a chance. But if you're going to constantly be like, okay, for the people that like the realistic stuff, you can have this one. The people that like the supernatural stuff, you can have this one. Everybody's going to never like try the other thing. But if you force them to have only one, then they'll probably take a break from one thing. And then when there's a new thing, whether that be supernatural or realistic, they'll more than likely be like, I'll go check it out. I haven't seen a Batman in a while. And then bada bing, bada boom, you might have a new audience again. But I think if you're going to kind of just cater to everybody, it's going to hurt you in the long run. So no, I do not think that there should be an expanded universe when it comes to Matt Reeves, the Batman. Going over to the YouTube comments, we have Moncray who says, what if you woke up as Joker one day? Now, there are some comments on this that I have to call out. Clay says, similar to what someone said before, knowing Juice, he'd smash Scarface. Okay, look, y'all are the ones asking these weird questions, and I'm just being honest with you. I'm not trying to give the cop-out answer of like, well, I don't like dudes, so like, I'm not gonna do that. You know what I mean? Because there's always those dude bros that can't even hypothetically answer questions. I think that's kind of lame. So I answer them I think anybody should answer them. Just fun. You know, it is what it is. And people love to just be like, oh yeah, it's Clayface, it's Scarface. I'm like, bro, it was just one question. But anyways, Moncray says, not sure if he'd smash Catwoman because that would hurt Batman. Well, look, if you're Joker, I mean, you probably don't smash Catwoman. You probably try to kill her, right? Because that hurts Batman. So I don't know if you'd be smashing, but I guess if you smash and then kill, that would be really fucked up and you could hurt Batman. If I was doing sadistic Joker stuff, maybe that's the route you go. But I don't really like to think Joker that way. I like to think of Joker as a crazy sadistic guy that has some limits, kind of like when he's like in that Marvel crossover where he's all like, look, I might be crazy, but I'm not a Nazi, and he punches out Red Mask or fucking Red Skull. You know, I think that's funny. I like a Joker that has some type of limits, but is just sadistic and insane. But anyways, I woke up as Joker one day. My same is similar to Batman, right? I said if I was Batman for a day, first thing I do is Catwoman. If I'm Joker, it's Harley Quinn. Bada bing, bada boom. If you're not making those kind of jokes, then the first thing I do as Joker, I don't know, man. See what I could get away with, you know? Because you're... No, you know what? I think if I'm the Joker, I just, like, walk down the street and just see how everybody acts. Because everybody might just run away from you, right? And be like, oh, shit, it's the Joker! And you're so, like, I don't know, people are so scared of you that you probably could just have a whole place to yourself because everybody was so scared, right? I would just walk around the streets if I could. see what happens. And if Batman shows up, Batman shows up. You know what I mean? I'd do it during the day, though. But anyways, we got Eduardo de la Cruz, who says, who again, writing scripts over here. Andy, remember when you took your ex home and she was so turned off and left because of the lewd Joker toy that was mysteriously there? It was me, Juicy. I put it there. Okay, and dodged a bullet, by the way. Thanks for the free figure. Anything else? Yeah, what bitch would win? Deathstroke versus Chainsaw Man. Nightwing versus Nightcrawler. Cyborg versus Vision. You know what? I don't know the extent of Vision's powers. He's pretty much Ultron. Just a good version of Ultron. And so I've seen what Ultron can do in the comics. If you watch the movies, he's garbage compared to what you get in the comics. I would go Ultron there because I don't know how far Cyborg's powers go. I have seen Cyborg's powers cure antimatter, I think. I forget what happened in the zombie thing Tom Taylor did. But I believe Cyborg was the reason why he got cured. I'm going to go Vision with that one. Nightwing versus Nightcrawler. I mean, honestly, I'm going to be real with you. The only thing I know about Nightcrawler, I like Nightcrawler. I think he's awesome. Is he just teleports everywhere. I think Nightwing has fought plenty of different types of villains that he would be able to take on Nightcrawler. And I'm going to give the slight edge to Nightwing there. Deathstroke versus Chainsaw Man. If you've seen Chainsaw Man, and I have... Okay, if you've only seen the anime of Chainsaw Man, I will say you could probably think Deathstroke has a chance. He stands no chance. Chainsaw Man fucking obliterates Deathstroke, especially if you start reading the manga, because he goes insano style in the future. So yeah, Deathstroke stands no chance against Chainsaw Man, and Chainsaw Man doesn't die. Like, Deathstroke has the regenerative ability, but I think if you cut off his head or something like that, I think it's GG. You know what I mean? Chainsaw Man has literally been cut into pieces and come back together because he's like a demon, so, or a devil or whatever. And is it demon or devil? I always forget. But yeah, Chainsaw Man fucking wipes Deathstroke, hands down. We have Zog Wart says, the point of having Clayface in your film is not to show Clayface. The point is to show his daughter, who will appeal to many fans of the Wednesday Addams Show because she wears a choker. She will be in the film. She will either be played by Miss Ortega or by a lookalike. The rest is a little concern to producers. Okay, that's a random comment. I don't know what we're supposed to get out of that. Jason Todd says, I'd be down, but it would work better in the DCU. Yeah, I don't know. There is a Clayface version of the character, a female version. I don't know if that's his daughter. Like, I don't know much about her. There's also a version of Clayface that I believe was also another female actress that Clayface actually like loved or was in love with, if I'm not mistaken, at one point. And so I don't know about anything about the daughter stuff. Maybe that's just made up stuff there. But yeah, I mean, you know what, Zog? I mean, Jenna Ortega is pretty popular right now, so I wouldn't be surprised if they would do something like that. I don't see it happening, but you know, crazier things have happened. Clay says, what would be the most memorable fight in the DCEU had it happened? Batman versus Deathstroke, Shazam versus Black Adam, Blue Beetle versus Cyborg, Harley Quinn versus Joker, Superman versus the Suicide Squad. Well, we already had Superman versus the Justice League, so I don't think it's going to get that much better, except for the Suicide Squad would have tried to kill Superman, which would have been interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. Harley Quinn versus Joker, I don't think would have been as popular as people would have thought. They would have liked it. I mean, if it was a good fight, maybe. But I don't think that would have been the biggest thing. I think Deathstroke versus Batman would have trumped all of these. Like, people would have talked about those. Cyborg versus Blue Beetle, I don't think anybody would have cared about that, to be honest. And Shazam versus Black Adam would have been cool. But, you know, The Rock kind of farted all over that idea. But Deathstroke versus Batman, freaking Joe Manganiello versus Ben Affleck's Batman would have been badass. Just imagine, like, you know, warehouse scene. But both of them, that'd be freaking awesome. Moving on to the next question, Alexis Barrera says, which of these female writers would you like to see write a Batman run for a length of the Snyder or King? Okay, so writing as long as Snyder or King did. Gail Simone, G. Willow Wilson, Teenie Howard, Joelle Jones. The only person here that I would read a long run from is Gail Simone. G. Willow Wilson has wrote some okay stuff. She just did that Catwoman One Bad Day, which was okay. And then she also had a very lackluster Wonder Woman run. So I don't have too much faith in her to write something exciting that I would enjoy. Teenie Howard is single-handedly destroying Catwoman right now. I feel like she doesn't know the character. She made a soap opera romance. Granted, comics are soap operas. But she made a super soap opera romance that I think hurt the characters more than anything. And didn't really make me care for that romance at all. And it was boring. Joelle Jones, I will take her art on any book. Her as a writer, I could do without. So Gail Simone would be my pick. I would love for her to write Batman. I'd be down. But yeah, that's the, I think out of all of those, it would be Gail Simone. Because I loved her Batgirl run. I think it was amazing. We have Vasan. We haven't seen Vasan here in a while. I'm just going to... commented multiple times. I'm going to take this latest one. It says, it's stupid how cops in Gotham think without Batman, crime will be down when it's the last arc. It was proved that Gotham without Batman is doomed. I agree. I mean, it's always a cycle though, right? It's kind of how society is. Society automatically thinks that, like, oh yeah, this is what the reason why, you know, things are bad. But statistically, you know, the stats prove everything. It's like, no, it's actually... it's this reason why something's happening, or it's this reason, right? But everybody's always like, oh, you know, the problem is crazy people, not guns. And it's like, well, I mean, we have a bunch of crazy people that are not harming people over here, but we have a lot of guns that are harming people over here. And, you know, it's like, no, we need less gun law. You know, it's just like stupid shit like that. Like, it's the idea that people know the problem, but they maybe either like the problem, or they don't want to give up, you know, their personal rights or whatever, or they have a problem with the argument against the problem. And they're just like, no, we don't want that because we don't want restrictions or whatever. And so it's kind of the same thing. Like, you know, Gotham thinking that Batman is the problem is because, like, oh, he makes us look bad, so we're going to hate him. And it's just, it's like really dumb. And, you know, it happens in society, so it doesn't surprise me that it would be, that people would think the same way in comics, because that's believable. But it does look very idiotic when you actually look into it. Let's see. Nathan says, what Batman hybrid would have been the coolest in Dark Knight's metal? Batman Blue Beetle, Beetle Man, Batman Killer Frost, Frostbite, Batman Dead Man, Dead Bat, Batman Starro Batto the Conqueror, Batto the Conqueror, Batman Trigun Hellbat, Batman Swamp Thing Bathing, or Bat Thing. Wait, no, that's just bathing. With the way it's spelled, it would have to be like two T's to be Bat Thing. P.S. For Zaz comment last week, I meant room on his body being infinite as he's growing bigger each kill. Oh, interesting. I mean, he would just keep killing, though. I don't know, man. I think here's the thing, right? I would assume if you end up scarring all of your body, eventually you're going to start overlapping to where the scar, you could probably put another new scar over another scar, right? So I don't know. I don't know if he'd want to... I don't know if Zaz cares enough to where he can fully tally every one of his kills on his body, or if eventually he'd be like, I ain't got no more room. I got to start, you know, doing more on my body. I don't also know if Zaz would be crazy enough to, like, keep a body somewhere and he just starts putting tallies on that body. You know, like, oh yeah, I had an extra body or something. I don't know. So it'd be kind of crazy. Zaz is a weird character. But out of these hybrids, Blue Beetle Batman would be kind of cool. We've kind of seen, I mean, Deadman automatically takes over Batman's body all the time, so I don't need to see that. Starro became a Robin, which I thought was really stupid, but people seem to love it. So I don't really care about that one. Trigun, don't care. Batman Swamp Thing or Batman Blue Beetle would be for me. Killer Frost, don't really care for a cold Batman, to be honest. But I think Blue Beetle and Swamp Thing would be so different that I'd be interested to see in either one of those. And the last comment we have is Jason Todd. If you were Matt Reeves, what changes would you have made to the Riddler if he had to still keep the design and overall motive? The overall motive of kind of exposing like all the bad people. I think I would have had Riddler like, I don't know, man. I don't know how you make that exact character better. Maybe you could have shown him do like crazier things, but I don't know if that would have necessarily, you know what? I think there just needed to be more interaction between Batman and Riddler, and Riddler had to get away multiple times. I think that was what needed to happen. But so far, like, they were just always like at a distance, and granted, Riddler probably can't fight very well, right? And that's why he had a bunch of minions. And I mean, come on. This was the guy that was like, hey guys, wow, we actually got like 500 likes on the last video, so that's so cool. Like, you know, he was a wimp. So I think if you wanted to make this Riddler more interesting, but you have to keep the same design and motive, he needed to have more interactions with Batman where maybe it showed that he was a formidable foe fighting-wise, or he had ways to get away, right? Maybe we got more of the multiple Riddlers. Yeah, I don't know. I know that was like a big thing at the end, right? Like, oh yeah, all of these people came out at the very end, and Riddler, oh my god, he has so many minions, that's crazy. Maybe we had the Riddlers taking over the city, like throughout the day, like doing, committing crimes, and you know, just every time Batman thought he had him, it was somebody else. Maybe that would have been more interesting, but for the most part, he was kind of boring. And you know, maybe this is why they probably shouldn't have introduced freaking, you know, Falcone, Penguin, Catwoman. Maybe if it would have just been Batman versus Riddler the whole movie, you could have had so much more room. That movie was almost 3 hours, which is insanity. You could have probably had a better written Riddler. But, you know, Matt Reeves was like, I'm going to fit all of these characters into this movie. And I think it just took away from what Riddler could have been. And he just came off as very, very boring. So if anything, I would have just expanded on the character and probably got rid of the other villains and just told a Riddler-centric story for the movie. But that's just me. That is all we got for questions, ladies and gentlemen. And moving on to comics. I'm going to be real with you. This wasn't a great week of comics, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to kind of blaze through two of the comics because I didn't really care for them. And it sucks because I've been enjoying one of these comics mostly, but they kind of hit like a low point, and that is Justice Society of America. I believe this is issue 6 or 7. This is issue 6. We noticed last time it was kind of the climax of Huntress meeting Bruce and all that kind of jazz. And, you know, they beat the big bad. They beat the big bad in the last episode. And this episode now is introducing, or issue, I'm saying episode. This issue is introducing all the kids from all the heroes. You know, Judy Gehrig and, like, all of these kids that hadn't existed before. And granted, this is something that we've been hinting towards or we've gotten hints of since, you know, Geoff Johns has been writing the previous stuff, the previous books, like the Batman books, which was, I think, Flashpoint Beyond, right? And so, you know, this is where the story was always going, but I was kind of interested in the Batman element of it, and this book in particular has one Batman moment, and it really annoyed me because Helena is getting put up in a new apartment in New York because Bruce is like, look, you wanted to try to do some stuff with the Justice Society, you can live here. And, you know, she also says that she's been in this apartment before and she's spent a lot of Christmases here or whatever, something like that. And I was just all like, weird. I'm pretty sure. Let me see. How do you like it? I spent every year here with you and Mom, or I will, or I won't. Let's see. According to Our Man, the warning of me and Desmond, you say blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to figure out, let's see, but I thought it was for the best. Let's see, if you were to come to Gotham and do this differently. Okay, so from the way I'm reading this, she's in New York now, but she's spent a lot of Christmases there, which is kind of weird. I don't know, you mean your home you've chosen for me. I don't know. So either way, she's getting a new spot, and she's going to live in New York, it seems like, and she's going to work with the Justice Society. But she mentions how, or Batman's all like, since you saved me, you changed the future. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen to you now. And she talks about how, like, Batman's like, if you want to come try to work, make this work in Gotham. And he's like, no. Selina's like, your mom's there. And she's not really happy right now because you two are going to have a fight. Which, this is a reference to the Batman-Catwoman Gotham War that's happening right now. Well, that doesn't really make sense anymore, because how would Helena know that there's going to be a fight in the future if she just changed the future? You know what I mean? The way they're kind of doing this timeline that doesn't really make too much sense is that she changed the future, but the future is only going to change the moment Batman's supposed to die because he knows when he's going to die. I feel like everything's changed now. Like, you know, it's not just that one moment in time. It's kind of like the Flash movie, right? Flashpoint showed us that you could wipe out whole characters. You can do so many different things. But I don't know. So I think it's really weird that Helena would know of the Gotham War that is going on right now, because times have changed. Like, everything she does going forward is brand new. She shouldn't know anything. So yeah, they kind of reference that here. And then everything else was like other characters being like, how does so-and-so not know me? Or like, that doesn't make sense, and yada, yada, yada. And I didn't really care. Like, honestly, I wasn't too enthralled by this. And the book ends by Helena going to Power Girl. Sorry if my notifications are going off here. There's no volume on there. How am I getting the notifications? But anyways, the book ends with Huntress going to Power Girl and being like, yo, we've teamed up before. Why don't we make this team again? And you turn the page and it's Solomon Grundy. So it looks like Helena's going to try to build the Justice League she built when she was on her timeline, because her timeline no longer exists. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're going to get into an infinite loop. Maybe what happens is Huntress is going to rebuild what she had, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's history repeating itself, and maybe that means Batman's going to die again. I don't know. That's where I could see the story going, but I don't know why she would want to rebuild everything again. Maybe she saw good in those people. Who knows? But yeah, this was not the most exciting Justice Society of America book, in my opinion. But I think it is the first issue in the next arc, so maybe that's why it's a little lackluster. There wasn't really any fighting or anything in it. It was just a lot of like, hey, let's move the story along. So kind of boring, but it is what it is. The other book was probably even less interesting to me. And this was the new Birds of Prey, because this book, all it has to do, I will say, it ends with an interesting concept, but the whole book, the first, you know, it's issue one of the Birds of Prey, and this is by Kelly Thompson. I believe this is her first issue. I don't know if she's worked a lot in DC before. Clay is the person that usually has that kind of information. I believe she's coming from Marvel? I could be wrong. I read an article about her, you know, she's got, you know, what do they call it? She's got skins in the closet, or she's got something like that. I don't know, hunting reference. I don't know, whatever. But I think she's done stuff in the comic world before. I'm just not familiar with her work. But this Birds of Prey, we've talked about before when the news came out, because it was the weirdest, like, ragtag group of people to be in the Birds of Prey. Obviously, it is Black Canary. She is the leader. And then she gets Orphan, which is Cassandra Cain from the Bat family. Then she gets, Big Barda, which we were like, yo, that is such a weird team. And then there's this other character, I forget her name. She's like a samurai chick. I've never seen her before. Zana, I believe is her name. And then Harley Quinn. That is the new Birds of Prey. And this book, all it is Black Canary going to all of them and recruiting them. That is all this book is. Nothing crazy or amazing happens in it. But at the very end, you find out why Black Canary is doing this. She needs to save her sister, who is Sin. And Sin is actually captured on the island of Themyscira. So what's going to be happening is this ragtag group of, you know, semi-villains or anti-heroes or whatever are going to break in through Themyscira, which I think is kind of a cool concept, you know? This issue wasn't that great. The art is pretty cool. I kind of like the art. But they are going to be breaking into Themyscira to save Black Canary's sister, and Birds of Prey versus Wonder Woman, Birds of Prey versus the Amazons. I'll get down with that. And that makes sense. It's a reason why the Birds of Prey being so, like, weirdly connected. And I do want to point out, in this book, they do specifically say, we cannot tell Barbara Gordon. And so for a lot of people that are like, why isn't Barbara here? Why isn't Barbara a part of the team? It's because they specifically said, this mission has to be secret. Do not tell Barbara. And so I think it's kind of crazy. Sorry if my notifications keep going off, everybody. I got to put this on Do Not Disturb. I have my volume all the way down. Notifications still come through. What's going on with that, Apple? What the hell? That is why Barbara Gordon is not part of this team, is because for whatever reason, she cannot be a part of it to do this mission. So, yeah, I think that's kind of cool. I think it's good, interesting motivation. And, you know, I think a lot of people would pass up on this book. I think the first issue could have been stronger, but it is, again, we got to put the team together, you know? We got to do something. We got to make it interesting. The one thing about these team-up books is I don't know how many issues they have. I think this might be an ongoing. I don't think it's necessarily like a 6-issue miniseries or anything like that. But I don't think you need to get the whole team together in issue one. You know what I mean? You could have probably went after one or two people and then got the rest in like the next issue. But they kind of just rushed it. And they're like, we need everybody! Like literally, the way Black Canary gets Orphan to join up, she just asks her, and she's like, yeah. She's like, just like that? And she's like, yeah. And that's basically it. Nothing else, no questioning or craziness. She just joins up, which is probably an Orphan thing to do, but I don't know. I just thought that was, like, a little too easy. I would have liked a little bit more persuasion and stuff like that, but it is what it is. I like the concept that they're going with. I'm interested to see where it's going to go, but the first issue could have been a little stronger, but, you know. It is what it is. Moving on to the final book of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It is Batman 137. This is the continuation of the Gotham War, if you are reading the whole series. And I will say, to get the positives out in front, you know, George Humanis is back on this book. I believe the art is amazing. I mean, George is an amazing artist. It's just unfortunate that he's paired with a lot of people that have just silly stories that are not great, but I think George is one of the best artists in the game. And, you know, Batman looks pretty amazing throughout this book, and so does everybody else. But the one thing I will say is the art is great, and there is moments in this book that are pretty awesome. Like, the action is solid in this book. And I think there's even some dialogue that I like that is cool with Batman. But that is probably where the positives kind of stop. Because, again, I feel like Zdarsky and Teenie Howard, and I think this is fully Zdarsky. I don't think Howard really has anything to do with this, although her name might be on the book. It's not even on the book. So this is all Zdarsky. I think, again, Zdarsky and Howard have not read Batman in the last maybe like decade, but definitely the last few years. Because to kind of just, I'm going to jump around in this book as I kind of jump through it. Because a majority of this book is Batman just hunting people down, which I think is kind of cool. So he's like hunting down Selina's like henchmen and like taking them out. Even the people that have powers, Batman is just taking them out. Selina is meeting up with one of her people. And this person is just like, yo, Batman went to the Iceberg Lounge, got so-and-so. Batman got, these other people when they were trying to break into this house. Like, Batman's just going on a rampage and just beating everybody. Then Drake shows up and he's like, hey, what's up, Batman? And he's like, look, the stats don't lie. People are down. And it's weird because, but again, this issue sets it up really well. Something that didn't happen, or that we didn't really understand in the Gotham issue, or the first Gotham War issue, we didn't really see who was on Batman's side. Like, a lot of people were like, well, that kind of makes sense. And, like, only Robin was the only one that was like, this is fucking stupid. But for the most part, it was mainly, like, everybody was like, oh, we got to hear her out on this kind of stuff. Besides, like, Jason Todd, who was like, yeah, I'm down to help you, you know? But Drake shows up to confront Batman, and he's like, look, like, the stat, you know, the statistics prove it, like, crime is down. And Batman's like, somebody died, Drake. Like, you know, we're not going to allow that. And he's like, yeah, but... And he was like, are you just going to allow this to happen? Every time you see one of Catwoman's people, you're just going to not step in? And he's like, well... And so Batman literally tells Tim Drake, he's like, if I find out that you help him get away, I'll arrest you myself. So Batman is not taking any shit. He is telling the Bat family, or he's telling Robin here, but he's like, I will beat your ass if you get in my way. So I think that's kind of cool. That's very Batman. He has always had his morals. He will not let his family break those rules. And then it cuts to everybody in the clock tower, and it's like, it's everybody. And it's just crazy. It's Drake, it's Barbara, it's Spoiler, it's Grayson, and they're all like, oh man, how are we gonna stop him? Like, what are we gonna do? And even Red Hood is like, yo, he's crazy. Like, what are we gonna do? And so they're all gearing up to, like, how they could stop him, or how they can get in the way, or do whatever to kind of, I don't know, like... It's so weird for me to think that Barbara and Dick Grayson would go, like, so easily against Batman. You know what I mean? I could understand maybe, like, Spoiler being like, hey, you know, my family comes from crime. She also has this weird kinship with Red Hood, so I can see why she would join up with Red Hood. Drake is more the logical person, so he would probably be like, well... I mean, the stats don't lie. That kind of makes sense for his character. I feel like Barbara and Grayson would be more in the middle. They're like, nope, nope, we're not joining this war. We're not going to be here. And I think that's what you need, and maybe that's what's going to happen. There should be somebody in the middle. Like, because they know how crazy Batman can get, and they know how Selina can be. There should be somebody in the middle being like, we're not getting into this, but we're going to make sure y'all don't go too far. You know what I mean? I feel like that's what would be Nightwing and Barbara. But unfortunately, it seems like they're against Batman here, which I think is kind of dumb. But moving on from that, we do see Pig, and there is a round table of villains happening. Remember how we said we thought this was kind of dumb? That Selina, like, you know, she can just kind of run the whole area and nobody is doing anything? Well, it seems like that's not going to happen anymore. I don't know why they haven't been doing anything so far, but... Pig is there with Scarecrow, Calendar Man, Two-Face, Black Mask, Firefly, and Scarface and Mad Hatter. They all show up for this roundtable discussion that's about to happen. And Pig says, and fill our days and nights once again with power and terror. So there's no explanation of why they haven't been doing that, which this has kind of been like the forte of Batman writers in the last few years. They kind of just do things and don't explain them. One of the biggest ones being, you know, Tynan did that multiple times in his run. One of the biggest ones that was annoying was Batman went to go learn how to lose from somebody, and that was never explained again, and that person never showed up again. Made no sense. So, like, I don't know. They do these things. Also, Black Mask is here. If I'm not mistaken, Black Mask is a part of Catwoman's story, and didn't she, like, destroy his mask, and now he wears, like, a shitty, like, Red Hood type of mask now that's, like, half human face or some crap like that? But here, he has a full-blown black mask on, like he always looks and how he should look. I don't know if that's changed. I don't know if Howard has done something different or Black Mask has his mask back, but another one of those things where writers are not communicating with each other or writers are not reading comic books in their own universe, which I think is a bad, bad mistake. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of dumb and weird here, but it is what it is. So, yeah, there's these villains that are going to start causing some ruckus, which, again, we all kind of knew that that was going to happen, right? Do we really think that Catwoman and Batman are going to end up being apart this whole time? Although it's already been shown that Catwoman is leaving Gotham again after this event, so maybe they aren't gonna be friends at the end of this, who knows? And Batman's gonna be fighting Zurin Raw. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but that is literally the plans after Gotham War. Selina's leaving Gotham for a bit, and Batman is still gonna be fighting Zurin Raw again. Like, I'm not happy about the future of Batman. Anyways, Selina, Red Hood, and everybody are planning on causing some drama for Batman. They're like, yo, we have a plan. He's going to take the bait. We got this. Because Red Hood can track Batman. He has like a tracker on him or whatever. So Selina is going to do something. But Batman doesn't take the bait, apparently. He sends a drone instead of him. So Batman ends up going to Selina's hideout and just beats the shit out of all of her goons and Red Hood. Red Hood shows up, is trying to fight Batman. Batman, of course, holding his own. Tim Drake shows up and is all like, yo, you can't do this. And the whole Bat family is ready to fight Batman. And this is where, again, I praise the book. The only other issue that I really liked of Zdarsky was when the Justice League showed up to fight Failsafe. And I think that was really cool. Like, the action in that was cool. The storytelling was cool. And that was only the other, like, issue that I really praised of him. But here, the fighting was cool because it felt like Batman, where he knew what his, you know, pupils were going to do. He was like, Cassandra's going to attack first. I got to do this. Then I have to take out, oh my God, I'm forgetting his name. I have to take out freaking Duke because he has powers. So he takes out he takes out Duke, and then he was like, Spoiler doesn't wear a mask, so I gotta blind her. So he blinds her with some freaking, like, you know, flare bombs. And then there is a stupid piece of art here. I do think it's really dumb, because if you were to look at it in the book, Batman is punching Spoiler with one arm, and then he has his leg fully up like he's making a V shape, and he's kicking Drake. It looks really dumb, but they also try to make him look menacing at the same time, and it just looks idiotic. But that is one of the panels in here. So he's punching Spoiler and Drake. He's punching Spoiler while kicking Drake in a V shape at the same time, which it just makes me laugh. And then, you know, he has to fight Red Hood and Nightwing at the same time. But what they don't know about him, or what ends up happening, is he uses, and I called this, it hasn't happened exactly yet, but he uses his hand to spread gas. I told you this hand was going to start having applications, and I'm telling you, it's going to shoot a Kamehameha blast at some point. I guarantee it. But Batman shoots smoke out of his hands. That kind of, you know, lets him fight in the shadows. He's fighting Drake and Nightwing. Nightwing does get the upper hand. They kick Batman out of the building, which is multiple stories high. He falls all the way down onto a car. And Red Hood is coming all the way down from the top of the building with the crowbar to smash down on Batman. And out of nowhere, freaking Robin shows up and punches the shit out of Red Hood. And this was one of the best moments in the book. Probably the best moments in Zdarsky's whole run. Because I really wasn't expecting it. I completely forgot about Robin being the only one on Batman's side. Because he thinks it is stupid that, like, you're just going to allow criminals to do criminal things. It's idiotic. And so, you know, Robin's there. He's like, I almost respected you, Todd. You did what you needed to in order to get the job done. It was just the wrong job. So I love that Damian's here fighting with Batman. Batman and Robin, that's how it should be. Thought that was pretty awesome. And then, you know, Damian's like, it's going to be okay, Father. We're here. And then they get away. And everybody else is like, what are we going to do? Like, you know, what's going on? There is one moment where Duke is like, who is this? And there's a guy that's just tied up in one of the buildings. So I don't know if Selina was hiding somebody or I don't know what's going on. But there's a mysterious, like, guy that's just tied up. And so that's happening. Selina, the reason why Selina needed this distraction was to break out all the people that Batman have caught. Because he put a lot of people in jail. So they were breaking out. We have, like, Lady Clayface here. Again, I don't know if this is... I don't know much about Lady Clayface. I don't know where she started. I don't know which one this is. I don't know if this is somebody that Clayface was into. If it's his daughter, anything like that. I have no idea. But she's in this book. And so Lady Clayface, Selina, gets everybody out. Like, she saves her crew, but she didn't know that Batman was attacking her headquarters. And so she's getting a call from one of her people, and he's like, Batman attacked everything. Like, you know, we lost everybody. And Selina's like super pissed. But then what ends up happening is really dumb here. And it makes kind of like, I don't know. It makes sense, but doesn't make sense. Because Batman is at another place right now. He's in another, like, where he's living or whatever. He's, you know, kind of just chilling. Damian, there's, like, this little interesting moment where Damian's all like, so how do I get a hand like that? And he's like, trust me, you don't want a hand like this. But his inner thoughts are like, I don't want the kid thinking that he wants a hand like this because he's going to want one because it's pretty useful. And so... I don't know. I thought that was interesting. Well, Bruce ends up going to this door because there's like a lawyer at his front step. He's not at Wayne Manor. He's still in like those townhomes that was like in Detective Comics when he lost all his money. And well, he ends up, you know, he ends up like talking to this lawyer and he's all like, yeah, he's like, hey man, I've been out partying all night with the ladies and shit. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, well, I don't know what you're saying. He was like, but... you know, here's your stuff. You probably shouldn't be drinking as much because you're not paying your bills. And this is where, like, Bruce is like, I have contingencies for this. Like, I have contingencies for my financials. Like, what does it say? It's like, I have contingencies, plans to stop things like this from happening. I used to. All the upheaval with my life, my finances, I must have missed something or someone. Someone manipulating behind the scenes, taking Wayne Manor from me as a distraction. Selina. Somebody bought the manor from the bank, my family home. Would she go for that? Would she go that far? And then Zurin Ra shows up and he's all like, she would. And Batman's talking to himself. And then Batman can put Zurin Ra in a cage. He's like, no, you're in a cage, Zurin Ra. And Zurin Ra's in this cage. He's like, fine, I'm in a cage. And Batman's all like, oh, is my mission worth it? Yada, yada, questioning himself. And then somebody walks down the stairs to the manor, or from the manor to the cave, and it's revealed it's Vandal Savage, which is usually, if you guys don't know who Vandal Savage is, he is an immortal character in the DC universe. He often fights the Justice League and other people like that. And now he's in the Gotham War. Random. I don't understand why Vandal Savage needs to be a part of this. Kind of dumb, in my opinion. Last character I would ever think needs to be a part of this event. This could have just stayed with Gotham characters. But again, Zdarsky likes to do these random surprise shout-out page turn things, and Vandal Savage is just randomly in this story now. From my understanding, Bruce never got any of his money back, or he had a little bit of money to where he could, you know, live in the townhouse he's living in, so I guess that's consistent there, but he hasn't had the manor for a really long time, and everybody else has been working out of random little shacks and stuff. So, I mean, they were in the sewer at one point. Now they're, like, in the clock tower, seems to be the big area that a lot of people work out of. But, like, everybody that had, I mean, Lucius has all his money. So I don't think Lucius would allow for the manor to be bought. I don't really, so I don't know. There's, like, some plot holes there that I'm just not really liking. Also, why does Batman not have any of his financial stuff fixed by now? I think that's a big plot in the story that needs to be worked out. But him losing the manor, I think, is just kind of dumb, because he hasn't lost it this whole time. And granted, I know it's Selina. Selina put him there. You know, if Selina can manipulate the banks so well to where he could lose the manor, why did she never give him his money back in the first place then? Because they were on good terms before this Gotham War, which again, I think this is the shittiest reason for them to be fighting, because they got their feelings hurt. So I don't know. I think it's really weird that Selina is the greatest thief in the world and she can manipulate banks or whatever, but she couldn't just give Batman his stuff back afterwards. I think they did, you know, I think Tynan wrote something along the lines of, it was like, if it got tied back to Wayne, like, it would, you know, show that he was Batman. I don't know what it was, what their reasoning for it was, but I do think it is just kind of dumb, kind of lame, that he just lost the manor, and he loses it so Vandal Savage could just be a part of the story. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, Batman, he does question if he should, like, wipe all the drives and blow up the cave and all that kind of stuff so nobody could find it. But now Vandal Savage knows where he's at. And this is, like, the long-running joke. A lot of people do get upset. They're just like, nobody should be able to find the cave. People find the fucking cave all the time. Like, Joker has swam into the cave. He's been in the cave a million times. So many other people have been in the cave, villains. And everybody just kind of either stays away, or Batman just has, like, a new, amazing, crazy security system, you know? That's why I don't think it's weird when a lot of the villains know that Batman's Bruce Wayne. Most of the big ones don't fucking care. They're like, no, I don't give a shit about Bruce Wayne. I care about beating Batman, because beating Batman will give me reputation. Beating Bruce Wayne will not. So, I'm totally cool with that. But, I do think it was just, this doesn't add to the story. Honestly, like, I never thought Batman had money. According to the stuff I've been reading, Batman's never had money, but now he can lose the house. But he hasn't been living in the house at all. So it's weird that now that's coming into effect. Like, he either didn't own it this whole time, and was somebody, like, living in it? Like, I don't get it. Like, it's just really dumb that he hasn't been in the manor this whole time, and then now the manor just got sold. Like, it's a weird story beat that I just think is kind of dumb. And Vandal Savage just doesn't need to be there. Also, kind of looks like Jason Momoa. That's how they kind of drew him in this. But that is going to be it for this, ladies and gentlemen. I wish, we could have had Clay here. Clay would have probably given his opinions on all of these books as well and anything else we've talked about. My voice is already shot. I'm not going to lie to you. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be the end of this podcast. Hopefully, Clay will be healthy and happy and everything on the way back to join us next week for the start of year 5 of the Batman News Weekly channel with episode 209. Again, go leave Clay some love on the Batman News Weekly channel. Go check out the video he dropped about all the lantern rings. Give him some feedback on the video, or just give him some well wishes. Also, hit that subscribe button. We're trying to get to 500 subscribers on that channel because we're uploading content each weekly besides the podcast. And, we're trying to, help out the podcast. If you want to help out in a way you can hit that subscribe button so your boys can start getting some ads on these things. But that is going to be it for this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. The end of year 4 of the Batman News Weekly channel. Also, for me, this week, been streaming. Definitely follow on Kick, YouTube, or Twitch to come join up in the live streams. Come chat. Do all that kind of stuff. I did finish the first, or I should say, not the first, the intro video to my new channel. That is complete. I've been really busy. Haven't been able to do as much as I want on stuff, but I've been scheduling out my week this week. It's been extremely productive. And I've gotten the video, the intro. I got a video, which is the intro video to the new channel, done. So now I can just start focusing on the other videos and not have to worry about that one. Feels nice to have something done. And we're moving closer and closer to the new channel being a thing. But that is going to be it, ladies and gentlemen. As always, I'm usually accompanied by a fanboy, Clay. He will be back next week. I am Juice Wayne, and remember, Batman is awesome.